I was back in Detroit. That was the summer of 83. And I had a meeting at, I used to meet Mojo, the Electrified Mojo, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:15 in the morning, down at either Lafayette Coney Island was the main one, or American Coney Island, depending on which one had the shortest line. And he was, he'd been doing his thing on GPR forever at that point. And he and I kind of knew each other because we were both playing underground hip hop, which really wasn't well known at the time. There wasn't really much of it, but he and I would meet. He was playing the B-52s. He was playing Gang of Four. He was playing various underground bands, and he played the shit out of Prince too. And I was playing Prince on DET, you know, back before I left, you know, whenever his first records was coming out. And so we would meet, and I'll never forget this meeting because he said something to me that will always ring true to this day. I kept telling him I wanted to go to LBS and work at LBS, and they were not calling me back, and they weren't basically offering me a job yet. And I told him that DET was begging me to come back. This is 83. They wanted me to come back and reignite Radios in Motion. And for no money, of course, because I never really got paid to host a show. I only got paid to be a board op at certain points. And I said, but dude, you know, I don't want to go backwards. And he looks at me and he goes, you can't kick anybody in the balls when you're on your knees. And that's all he had to say. It was just basically, oh, I get it. I'm on my knees, and I didn't fucking think I was on my knees. And so I went, what should I do? And he goes, stand up, take the job at DET. It will lead to better things. So I said, okay. And the next week, I basically went back down to DET, talked to whoever it was in charge, and I can't remember who it was at that point. And they said, fine, this is your slot. It was kind of like they just gave it to me. And I was back on the air within about a week, 2 weeks. And then the show took off again. Because at that point, I think the Detroit News and the Free Press, McFarland and those guys were hip to the fact that I was doing what I was doing. So this is 83. By this point, the U2s of the world, you know, U2 came by DET on their first tour through Detroit. Oh, sorry, the second tour. They played Harpo's in 80, I think it was, 80, late 80s, and then 81. They came by and they did an interview on DET, and suddenly these bands are being played, you know, on national programming, television stuff. U2 was becoming quite big in 83. So suddenly it was kind of like, wow, this guy kind of knows what he's talking about. I mean, why is this underground band now getting, you know, a huge buzz, you know, and ended up becoming one of the biggest bands on the planet. So he got back into DET, and then I'm thinking about 4 or 5 months later, if I remember correctly, I finally got a phone call from LBS. They said, can you do 7 to midnight? And we cut a deal that I would spin roughly half of the records that they wanted me to spin. You know, they give me a playlist of what they wanted, but I could fill in like every other song. And then from, I think, 10 to midnight, it was freeform, you know, whatever I wanted to play.